Hard Feelings by Mark Coggins is a bang bang thrill ride, says best-selling author Seth Harwood, who adds that the lead character of Winnie is a female Jack Reacher. Find it in ebook or trade paperback wherever books are sold. In this podcast, it's read by author Mark Coggins. Learn more about Mark and his other novels at markcoggins.com. Chapter 16. Reardon. "Guess we're heading back to California," I said. Healdsburg is a town in Northern California's wine-producing region. It's more rural than Napa and Sonoma, the principal cities involved in the area's wine industry, so it didn't surprise me that the winemaker might pick it as a place to lie low. Winnie rubbed the back of her neck and nodded. I'd noticed she often found excuses to touch her head and neck. "Yeah, I guess we are. But we need more than just a town. I think it's time to talk to your friend Starlet." "She's not my friend." "You let somebody who's not your friend handle your junk?" "Very funny. I should never have mentioned that part of the brothel protocol. You want me to fetch her?" "That's the idea. I need to keep an eye on the security cameras." I shrugged and went to retrieve Starlet. I had Jasmine remove the spreader bar from her ankles, but kept the handcuffs and the ball gag in place. As I herded Starlet back through the rear door of the main building, a scraping sound came from the pool. Winnie hadn't exactly stayed glued to the computer monitor. She was dragging Oz by the ankles along the bottom. Starlet and I watched as she painted the plaster with a streak of blood from a wound on his forehead.
"He was still breathing," said Winnie, when she saw us.
"Was?"
"Yes, was."
She leaned down to retrieve the device he had pointed at her, and then rifled his front and rear pockets for a cell phone and a wallet.
"Brain dead, probably," she amended, "but still breathing."
Starlet made a strangled noise. "Now you know what you're dealing with," I said to her in an undertone. "Don't expect me to control her. She's going to ask you some questions, and you damn well better answer." I got a twitchy nod and a gurgle in response. Starlet seemed to have grasped the point. We met Winnie at the cabana, where she resumed her place in the chair by the computer. I stood Starlet up in front of her and undid the ball gag. She whimpered a little when it came off, but said nothing.
"You know who I am?" began Winnie.
"You're the one they've been trying to capture," said Starlet.
"And?"
"And you're like the other girls, but you move on your own. They were going to get the implants from the back of your neck and said you might be coming here. They also said..."
"Yes."
"They also said the winemaker hated you for what you and your husband did to him."
Winnie smirked. "Did they say anything about my friend here?"
"I don't think so. Who is he?"
"Reardon. They might have referred to him as a detective or a private investigator."
"Oz did say something about a detective once. Said he was a bozo who was going to be killed."
"Please," I said. "No need to sugarcoat it." Both women ignored me.
"Did they say we might be working together?" pressed Winnie.
"No."
"Or where they thought we were?"
"No."
Winnie leaned back in her chair and regarded Starlet for a moment.
"How did you get involved with them?"
Starlet looked down and then away.
"I was managing another brothel, a regular brothel, when they approached me. They offered me a lot of money. At first I didn't understand what was different about the women, but it didn't take long to figure out that there was something odd. I started asking questions, and finally they told me. They said they would kill me if I went to the police. I was just as much a prisoner here as the girls."
"By girls, you mean slaves, don't you? And I'll bet you were."
"No, it's true,"
Starlet insisted, without looking up.
"I didn't have a choice."
Winnie rolled her chair forward.
"Here's the big question," I want you to think very carefully before you answer. Think about what happened to Oz, to the bartender, to all the men who worked here. Where is the winemaker?
Starlet's breath caught. I don't know.
Winnie leaped out of her chair and took hold of Starlet's throat with both hands. The suddenness of it surprised me, to say nothing of what it did to Starlet. She yelped and toppled into me.
Did they tell you how strong I am? Asked Winnie.
Starlet managed a truncated nod.
But I can't feel anything. I get no feedback. I might start squeezing your throat to encourage you to answer my question, and even without meaning to, strangle you or break your neck. Don't take that risk. Tell me, where is the winemaker?
Starlet's body trembled like a thunder sheet in a radio play. Liquid spread from her crotch to darken the fabric of her tights.
I really don't know, she sobbed.
Winnie, I said softly over the head of the terrified woman. She's not lying.
Don't take her side.
I'm not taking her side. I'm taking yours. Ask her something else. She wants to be helpful.
Winnie released Starlet's throat, shoving her back into me.
All right, bitch. Did the winemaker come here?
Starlet rode over sobs and deep hyperventilating breaths to answer.
He never came here.
How did you communicate with him?
I never met him or talked to him. No one spoke to him but Oz.
How, exactly?
The question seemed to surprise her.
I don't know. I assumed the phone.
Did anyone else ever visit? I asked. Any of the winemaker's other employees?
Two guys came through about a week ago. They spent time with Oz. He told me they were after her.
What did they look like?
One had red hair. The other was Hispanic. Looked like he worked out.
I raised my eyebrows and nodded at Winnie. Did they say anything about where they'd come from?
No.
I tugged on the short length of chain between her handcuffs. Think harder.
I hardly spoke to them. I set each of them up with a girl.
Bitch, Winnie said sharply.
And I talked to them a little at the bar before they left. They didn't say anything about where they came from. Well, one little thing.
Let's have it.
They left after the drink, but the redhead came back into the building with a bunch of garbage for me to throw away. He said the other guy was a pig and he was tired of having it in the car.
So?
So there were fast food wrappers from a place I'd never seen before. Nation something. I asked the guy about it and he said it was a chain in California.
I chuckled. Nation's Giant Hamburgers. And it's not a chain in California. It's a chain in Northern California. I bet there are not more than 24 of them. I'm sure we can find out if there's one near, the place we're concerned about.
Big fucking clue, said Winnie, settling back in the chair.
Her eyes wandered over to the computer screen, and she quickly grabbed the mouse to resize a window.
Somebody just pulled up in front in a cab.
That's got to be a customer.
Yeah, the guy's getting out to read your note.
A beat went by, and she smiled for the first time in what seemed like a very long time.
Jesus, what did you write? He looks like he's been slapped.
I'll tell you later. I'm going to take Starlet back to chill out with the other detainees. Then I think we need to figure out our next steps.
Fine. I'll do a Google search on your burger place.
I escorted Starlet back to the lounge, where Jasmine got her resituated next to the Johns. Apparently, Starlet wasn't the only one with bladder control issues, as there was now a dark stain shaped like India on the carpet under one of them. I suggested that Jasmine get the girls packed up and ready to go.
There's not much packing to do, she said, but we may have a problem with destiny.
I looked around the room and realized for the first time that she wasn't there. Why? What's the matter?
For one thing, I don't think she speaks English.
But I heard her. Jasmine blew air through her lips.
They can make you say whatever canned phrases they want, like those fucking dolls with the pull strings. Maybe the bigger problem is her emotional state. She's almost catatonic. Apparently, they kidnapped her from some Middle Eastern country. She was a burqa-wearing virgin. No experience at all with men, and certainly none with the shit they made us do here. I thought back to what the winemaker had said on the Skype call. Oh. Oh doesn't even begin to cover it. I don't know why I'm telling you this. We'll take care of her. My impression is you have other fish to fry. I ran my hand through my hair. Yeah, we do. Look, let's meet in the front room in 10 minutes. With the brothel's cars and the ones these guys came in, we should have enough to transport everyone. Yep, and I'm certain Starlet will be happy to open the safe to provide a little traveling cash. I laughed. No doubt. When I got back to the cabana, I found Winnie yanking cables and cords from the back of one of the computers. I'm taking this with us, she said, in case there's any more information on the disk. Did you look up Nation's Giant Hamburgers? She nodded as she extracted an oversized laptop from the tangle of wires. You were right. There's one in Healdsburg. I guess it's a confirmation of sort, but it doesn't tell us anything new. I've got another question for you. She straightened and looked at me with a quizzical expression. What? You want to know if I date older men? Hardly. The question is, did you really finish off Oz in the pool? She curled her upper lip at me. That bother you? It seemed a little extreme, even for you. She walked by me, patting my shoulder as she passed. Relax. He was already dead. I wanted his cell phone and stuff, and it didn't seem like a bad idea to make Starlet think I was administering the coup de grace before we questioned her. Very, I started to say, but a scream from the main building interrupted. Winnie chucked the laptop, retrieved her sawed-off from the table by the door, and sprinted out. I pulled the Glock from the small of my back and followed. We rushed through the rear entrance, hugging the left side of the corridor until we came to the lounge. Outside stood the redhead who had given me the keys to the BMW. She was staring into the room with her hands held to her face in a silent movie pantomime of shock. The redhead backed away from the doorway, and Jasmine emerged, holding Destiny in a bear hug. She was wild-eyed and pale and had blood on both of her hands. Jasmine looked over Destiny's head to meet my gaze. She killed all the Johns, she said. Starlet, too. Cut their throats with a bar knife. Sweet Jesus, I said. They were culpable, but did they deserve death? Did Destiny even understand what had been done to her and who was responsible? I turned my head away. Clean her up and let's get the fuck out of here, I snarled. I've had a bellyful of this place. I cajoled, prodded, and otherwise force-marched all the women into three of the vehicles for which we had keys. I backed the BMW away from the front gate, pulled it wide open, and waved them through in caravan. Jasmine drove the last car in line. She paused to roll down the window as she pulled up. I just want to say thank you. You should really be thanking Winnie, I said, but you're welcome. Where will you go? I'm not going to tell you. If you're going up against the people who did this, who thought up this technology and enslaved us, I don't want you to know anything more about us. I kicked a pebble across the blacktop. I understand. You should get those things off your necks as soon as you can. You're vulnerable as long as you have them. She nodded and pressed the button to roll up the window. I heard her say, "We'll cut them out with a nail file if we have to." And she was gone. I walked back to the Lincoln, which was still parked in front of the brothel. Winnie was waiting for me in the passenger seat. Ready? I asked. She looked at me with an opaque expression. She'd been strangely subdued since I'd blown my top. Almost, she said quietly. I realized I left the computer in the cabana. Would you mind going back for it? Why ever not? I said snidely, and trod the short flight of steps to the entrance. I strode through the building, averting my eyes as I passed the lounge, nabbed the computer, and made my way back. As I came through the bar area, I nearly tripped on the broken neck of a wine bottle. I looked past the bar to the wall behind and spotted a shelf with a display of more of the same sort of bottles, a few of which had escaped Winnie's shotgun volleys. I crunched over to take one from the shelf. It was a Pinot Noir from a winery called Marionette Vineyards. It was no place I had ever heard of, but somehow I knew the label would read, "Bottled in Healdsburg, California." You have been listening to No Hard Feelings, a finalist for the Forward Reviews Book of the Year Award. Find it in ebook or trade paperback wherever books are sold. In this podcast, it's read by author Mark Coggins. Learn more about Mark and his other novels at markcoggins.com.